When Russia's new Tsar, Nicholas I, resolved to compel the Jews of his empire to assimilate in 1827, his first step was to force Jewish boys and young men to serve for 25 years in the Russian army. There was nothing like barracks life, he figured, to squeeze the Jewishness out of a Jew. His policy failed. The recruits were fed pork, which meant that a great many, including some as young as 8 or 9 years old, died of hunger. Instead of assimilating, Russia's Jews united as never before, and draft resistance became pervasive. It is that experience that forms the background for our next story, Back from the Draft by Sholem Aleichem. On the surface, the story is a rambling, comic monologue about a Jewish boy who, because of bureaucratic confusion, is compelled to return to the draft board time and time again. We laugh at the foolishness of the Russian bureaucrats. But even as we do so, we cannot ignore a far more ominous concern: the precariousness of individual identity, mistaken or otherwise, against the growing power of the state. Back from the Draft by Sholem Aleichem. Our reader is Jerry Stiller.
You want to know which station I'm coming from? Just wait till I put my prayer shawl and phylacteries away and I'll tell you. Now, you asked where I'm coming from? Ah, me. From Yechupetz is where I'm coming from. We're on our way back from the draft board, me and my son, this young fellow stretched out here on the bench. We went to get advice from some lawyers, and while there we stopped to consult some specialists to see what they would say. The good Lord has blessed me with a draft call. My boy has already presented himself 4 times, and still, the end is not in sight. And to the bargain, he's a one and only son with an honest-to-goodness, officially attested to first-class exemption. Why are you staring at me like that? Are you surprised? Just keep your ears open and hear me out. Here's the background to the story. I happen to be from Mezerech, but actually my hometown, to coin a phrase, is Mazepevka, and I'm registered in Voratilevka. That is, once upon a time I lived in that blasted Voratilevka, but I now live in Mezerech. I don't think it should make much of a difference to you who I am and what my name is, but I must tell you my son's name, for it's absolutely essential to the story at hand. His name is Itzik, that is Avraham Yitzchak, but he's known as Alta, a nickname my old woman gave to our one and only son. Actually, we had another son about 1.5 years younger than Itzik. This other boy was called Azik, but once when he was a little boy, he was left all alone. I'm talking about Azik. And he had an accident. In those days, I still lived in that blasted Voratilevka. So the child, Azik, that is, got it into his head to crawl right up to the samovar and upset it, and the boiling water scalded him to death. God spare you a like fate. Since then, Itzik, Avraham Yitzchak, that is, has remained an only son. My wife, may she live and be well, pampered him and named him Alta. Now, you may well ask, how can it be if he's an only son, a one and only boy? Why should he be subject to a draft call? Well, that's exactly what's eating me. Wait, perhaps you're thinking, God forbid, that he's one of those robust youngsters that grow up in the lap of luxury. If so, you're mistaken. You wouldn't even give 2 broken kopecks for him. He's not much for looks, and he's a sick boy to boot. What am I saying, sick? He's not sick, God forbid, but he's certainly not well. Too bad he's sleeping now. But I don't want to wake him. Wait till he gets up. Then you'll lay eyes on a walking skeleton, all skin and bones, long, lean, and lanky as a beanpole, with a face the size of a dried fig, the spitting image of his mother. May she live and be well. Who's also tall and skinny. I mean frail and delicate. Being that he's so tall and skinny and unfit for the draft and has a first-class exemption besides, you'd think I ever had to worry about a draft call. But when the draft call came, the exemption went out the window, completely forgotten. What happened? Quite simple. They had apparently forgotten to strike my other boy, Azik, the one who was scalded to death by a hot samovar, from the registry. So I ran to that idiot, the crown rabbi, screaming, "Justice, you robber, you murderer! What have you got against me? Why didn't you remove my Azik's name?" So that ass asked me, "And just who is this Azik, pray tell?" What do you mean? I shouted. Don't you know Azik, my son Azik, the one who upset the hot samovar? What samovar? He asked. Welcome, stranger, I said. You must be a long way from home. Some head you got on your shoulders. A head like yours should be used as a nutcracker. Who doesn't remember the story of how my Azik scalded himself to death with a samovar of boiling water? I don't understand what sort of a crown rabbi you are. Questions pertaining to religious affairs you don't answer, because for that we have our rabbi. Long life to him. So it would only be fair to assume that you'd at least take proper care of the deceased. And if not, what do we need you and your meat tax for? But the tongue-lashing I gave that fine crown rabbi was all in vain, for it turned out that the samovar incident had taken place not here in Meseretz, but in Voratilevka. Get the picture? I had completely forgotten that we were still living there at the time. To make a long story short, what's the use of long-winded histories and twice-told tales? Till I made a move. Sent papers and affidavits here and there. My Avraham Yitzchak, that is Itzik, otherwise called Alta, lost his exemption privilege. In other words, he was no longer exempt. If so, we were in a fine pickle. There was an outcry, an uproar. What? How can it be? A one and only son with an honest-to-goodness officially attested to first-class exemption, and now we had lost his non-draftable status? But go knock your head against the wall. It was completely futile. But we got a great and mighty God, so my Alta, Itzik that is, went and pulled the highest number, 699. There was a big to-do in the council chamber. The chairman of the draft board himself slapped him on the back. Bravo, Itzko! There's a fine lad! The entire village envied me. Number 699! What luck! Congratulations! All the best wishes for a happy life, as though we had won first prize in the national lottery, all 200,000 rubles. But you know our Jews. When it came to the draft, the board began rejecting them. They rejected them left and right. Everyone suddenly became a helpless, hopeless cripple. This one had this, that one had that. To make a long story short, what's the use of long-winded histories and twice-told tales? They finally reached number 699, and my Itzik, that is Alta, had to go, alas, and personally present himself to the draft board with all the tailors and the shoemakers. And what a weeping at home. What am I saying, weeping? There was a mournful wailing and sobbing. My wife, bless her, raised the roof. My daughter-in-law passed out. After all, has it ever been heard of that an only son, a one and only boy who has an honest-to-goodness, officially attested first-class exemption, is denied the privilege of his non-draftable status? And my son, he's as cool as a cucumber, as though the whole mess didn't concern him at all. Whatever happens to all will happen to Alter, he quipped, feigning nonchalance. But don't you think he was shivering in his boots all the while? But we've got a great and mighty God. They stripped my Itzik, if you'll pardon the expression, stark naked for the physical. The doctor looked Itzik, Alter that is, over, measuring him up, down, and across, searching, tapping, touching him, tormenting him. But alas, what's the use? If the rascal is unfit, what am I saying unfit? He's fit all right, but not for military duty. Why, for goodness sakes, your fingers can span his chest. So he was disqualified and got a white rejection slip. So once again, there was joy in the house, a celebration, congratulations, and lots of luck. The family got together. We had some drinks, toasted each other's health. Thank the good Lord, we had gotten rid of the draft. But you know our Jews. Don't you think there was a rat who was just dying to inform the provincial government that I had greased someone's palms? At any rate, 2 months after the physical, I got an official letter inviting Itzik, that is Alta, to take the trouble to present himself once more before the province's central draft board for another physical. Well, how's that for good news? Some pickle, huh? My wife, bless her, raised the roof. My daughter-in-law passed out. Unfair, what a shame. Twice to the draft board, an only son, a one and only boy with an honest-to-goodness officially attested to first-class exemption. To make a long story short, what's the use of long-winded histories, twice-told tales? When the authorities summon you, you can't be a pig and refuse. When I arrived, I began running about, hoping that perhaps some pull here or a good word there would help. But even if you tell them you're King Solomon and that you have a one and only son who's sick to boot, why, they only laugh right in your face. And what about my boy? He looked so poorly, I tell you, they bury healthier specimens. Not on account of the draft, mind you. That went in one ear and out the other. If military service was in the cards, he said, he'd serve. He just simply couldn't bear our anguish, that is, the way the women suffered. After all, an examination in presence of all the members of the Central Draft Board itself. Who could tell what would happen? Like they say, it's all a matter of luck. It's one big lottery. But we've got a great and mighty God. My Itzik, Alta that is, was led into the examination room, if you'll excuse the expression, as naked as the day he was born. They started again from scratch, measuring him up, down, and across. Once more, searching, tapping, touching, tormenting him. But alas, what's the use if the rascal is unfit? What am I saying unfit? He's fit, all right, but not for military duty. One council member even stood up and tried to say he's fit, whereupon the doctor cut him off with unfit. This one said fit, the other said unfit. They kept shouting, fit, unfit, at each other, until the governor, in all his glory, stood up from the chair, approached Itzik, looked him over, and said, absolutely unfit! Meaning that the only thing he's fit for was 99 plagues, so I immediately wired home in code, naturally. Congratulations, the goods have been categorically rejected. Well, listen to this. As luck would have it, my telegram was not delivered to my house, but to my cousin's. We've got the same names, but he's a wealthy man, and if you'll excuse the expression, a great big swine. And it's no surprise either, since he deals with oxen. To the very province where my son and I had gone, he had sent a shipment of oxen. He was so impatient for a telegram that his eyes nearly popped out of his head. So you can imagine how he felt when he received a telegram stating the goods have been categorically rejected. I thought he would eat me up alive when I came home. Picture a swinish rich man who deals with oxen, and you'll know how his mind works. It's not enough that he accepts other people's telegrams, but he insists that he's in the right, too. Now, let's turn the clock back to the time when I still lived in that blasted Voratilevka, and my Itzik, Alta that is, was still a little child. One day, the census takers were in town, and they went around from door to door listing young and old and asking everyone his name, age, the number of children he had, and their sex and names. When it came to writing down Itzik's name, my wife, bless her, said, Alta. What did the census taker care? If they tell me Alta, he probably thought that's their business. So he wrote down Alta. Guess what happened? Exactly 1 year after the last draft call, I got a new piece of news. They were looking for my son, Alta, and asking him to present himself to the draft board at Voratilevka. May all my nightmares seep into my enemy's skulls. There's a glad bit of tidings. We got another son. So, how do you do, Reb Alta? To make a long story short, what's the use of long-winded histories and twice-old tales? They were summoning my Itzik, Alta that is, to the draft board once again. My wife, bless her, raised the roof. My daughter-in-law passed out. It was perfectly disgraceful. Travel the length and breadth of the entire world and see if you'd find one instance where an only son, a one and only boy with an honest-to-goodness officially attested to first-class exemption should be called to the draft board three times. But go talk Turkish or Tatar. There was nothing to be done. So I ran to our communal leaders and shouted, blue murder! I just about succeeded in getting 10 people to swear out an affidavit saying that they were positive, that Itzik is Avraham Yitzhak and that Avraham Yitzhak was Alta and that Alta and Itzik and Avraham Yitzhak were all one and the same person. I took the affidavit and brought it to Voratilevka. I came to Voratilevka, and the welcome mat was spread out for me. Oh, Reb Yessel, how are you? What's new? What are you doing here? Naturally, I didn't want to tell them. What in the world for? The less a Jew knows, the better. Nothing, really. I have some business with a landed nobleman.
About what?
About some millet, I said. I bought some millet from him, I did, and I gave him a down payment. Now there's no millet, no down payment. I lost everything, both the cow and the clapper. And I went straight to the council chamber of the draft board. There, I met one of the old-time clerks and handed him the affidavit. After reading the affidavit, he flared up and flung it back at my face with such a fury that I hope to God you never see the like. Beat it, he said. Go to hell with all your names and with all your Jewish tricks. You want to squirm out of the draft, you Yid finagler? You change Avraham to Yitzchak and Yitzchak to Itzik and Itzik to Alta? Such shenanigans don't go with us, you double-dealing swindlers. Oho, thought I. If it's come to finagler and swindler, he's no doubt throwing out a hint for a ruble. So I took out a coin with the intent to slip it into his hand. Excuse me, your eminent draft boardship. And don't you think he jumped a foot off the ground with a yelp, bribe? Other clerks came a-running, and within a minute they showed me the door. What a disaster. My luck, I had to meet up with an official with scruples and clean hands. But imagine his honesty was only for show. Among Jews, you know you always find your way, so I found a Jew who served as his middleman. But it helped as much as leeches help a corpse, and the upshot was that I now had another son named Alter. So with all due respect, he was ordered to present himself at the Vorotelefka draft board. Some kettle of fish, huh? How I managed to live through that year, I'll never know. I must have been made of iron, but on the other hand, what have I, Dumble that I am, got to be afraid of? Draft him 10 times. What do I care? If the rascal's unfit, what am I saying unfit? He's fit all right, but not for military duty, and especially since he's been rejected 2 times. But then again, who knows? It's a strange town. None of the officials were bribable. But we've got a great and mighty God. My Alta, Itzik, that is, once again drew a high number and presented himself for the physical. But God performed a miracle, and the Vorotelefka Council also disqualified him and gave him a white rejection slip. So now, praise be God, we had 2 of those white slips. We came home, and there was great joy. We threw a party, invited almost everyone in town, and danced and lived it up until dawn. Now I was riding high. Was anyone my equal? I was king. Now we have to turn back to my Isaac. May he rest in peace. The one who was scalded to death by a boiling samovar when he was a child. Here's where the story gets interesting. Listen, go be a prophet and know that the fine crown rabbi of Vorotelefka would forget to remove him from the registry. The dead child, that is. And that I'd still have a debt outstanding, a son named Isaac, who would have to present himself to the draft board this year. There's a bomb out of the blue. What sort of calamities am I blessed with? I protested to the crown rabbi. What Isaac? Isaac has been dead and buried for ages. What am I supposed to do now? It's no good, he said. Why is it no good? Why, I said. Because Itzik and Isaac are one name. Can you tell me how Itzik and Isaac are one name, wise guy? Itzik is Yitzhak, he said. Yitzhak is Isaac, and Isaac is Isaac, and Isaac is Isaac. Some logic. To make a long story short, what's the use of long-winded histories and twice-told tales? They were looking for my Isaac. They were pulling me to pieces, telling me to bring him to the draft board. Once again, the weeping began in the house. What am I saying, weeping? It was the destruction of the holy temple all over again. First of all, my wife, bless her, reminded herself of the dead child, and it reopened old wounds. I'd rather have him alive and go to the draft board than lie in the earth with his bones rotting. What's more, I'm afraid that perhaps the crown rabbi is right. May it never come to pass, and that Itzak is Yitzchak, and Yitzchak is Isaac, Isaac is Isaac, and Isaac is Isaac. If that's so, then we're in a pickle. So said my wife, bless her, raising the roof, while my daughter-in-law, as usual, passed out. No trifle, you know, an only son, a one and only boy with an honest-to-goodness officially attested to first-class exemption who's presented himself 3 times to the draft board, has 2 white rejection slips, and is still not through! So I picked myself up and took a train to Yechupitz in order to consult a good lawyer. I also took my son along to visit a specialist and hear what he would say concerning his fitness, even though I knew right well that the rascal is unfit. What am I saying unfit? He's fit, all right, but not for military duty. And after hearing the opinion of both lawyer and the specialist, why, then I'd be able to sleep well, and this runaround with the draft would stop. But what do you think the upshot was? The upshot was that lawyers and the specialists didn't know a damn thing. This one said this, that one said that. If one said white, the other insisted on black. They can drive you stark, raving mad. Just listen. The first lawyer I met was a thick, dull-witted dunderhead, despite his high forehead and a skull so bald and smooth you could have used it as a sliding pun. That smart aleck could not comprehend who was Alter, and who was Itzik, and who was Avraham Yitzhak, and who Isaac had been. So I told him the whole story over and over again, that Alter and Itzik and Avraham Yitzhak were one and the same person, and that Isaac was the one who had upset a samovar of boiling water while I was still living in Voratilevka. So I thought that I had gotten through to him, but when I was done, he asked me again, "Wait a minute, if you please. Who's the oldest one, Itzik Alter or Avraham Yitzhak?" "There you go again," I said. "I thought I already told you 15 times that Itzik and Avraham Yitzhak and Alter are all one person. In other words, his real name is Itzik, that is Avraham Yitzhak, but he's called Alter, a nickname given to him by his mother. Now, Isaac is the one who knocked a samovar boiling water over himself when I was still a Voratilevka living in Voratilevka." "Then which year was it," he said, "that Avraham Alter, I mean Yitzchak Isaac, presented himself to the draft board?" "What are you mumbling about?" I said. "Why are you mixing moonbeams and borscht? This is the first time in my life that I've met a Jew who was both pig-headed and feather-brained. I'm trying to tell you that Yitzchak and Avraham, Yitzchak and Itzik and Isaac and Alter are all one person, one person." "Pipe down," he said. "Stop screaming. What are you screaming for? Did you ever? And he's got the nerve to think he's right." To make a long story short, I spat in disgust and left for another lawyer. This one happened to have a keen Talmudic mind, a bit too keen, perhaps. He rubbed his brow, sought out the facts, split hairs, wrangled with the laws, and concluded that on the basis of such and such a statute, the Meserich draft board had no right to register. But what then? There was a law that if one draft board did register him, then the other one had to remove him from its lists. Then there was another law, he said, that stated that if the first board had registered him and the second did not remove him, then the first one was obliged to remove him. Moreover, there was a statute on the books which stated that if the first board refused to remove his name, that, to make a long story short, this law, that law, this statute, that statute, he stuffed my head so full of those legal terms that I simply had to go to a third lawyer. There I encountered a new bungler, a young attorney still wet behind the ears, that is, he had just finished law school. Quite a friendly chap, a tongue like a bell, and it kept on ringing. Apparently he was still practicing public speaking, for when he talked, one could see the great pleasure the sound of his own voice gave him. He rambled on, became hot under the collar, delivered a full-fledged sermon, which I had to cut short in the middle. "Very nice," I told him. "No doubt you're right. But what good is your bewailing my lot going to do me? I'd rather you gave me some advice concerning the steps I should take if they call him, God forbid." To make a long story short, what's the use of long-winded histories and twice-told tales? I finally got hold of the right lawyer. This one was a lawyer of the old school, one who immediately grasped the heart of the matter. I told him the whole story from A to Z. While I spoke, he sat with eyes closed and paid close attention. When I had finished, he said, "Is that it? Are you through? Go home. It's nothing.
You won't have to pay more than a 300-ruble fine. Is that all? I said. Tut-tut, if I could be sure, it was merely a matter of a 300-ruble fine. But it's my son I'm worried about. What son? What do you mean, what son? I said, Alta, that is Itzik. What has Itzik got to do with it, he said. What do you mean, what's Itzik got to do with it? What if he's dragged out to the draft board again? God forbid. But you yourself have said that he has a white rejection slip. He's got two of them. So what do you want? Said the lawyer. What should I want? Actually, I don't want anything. I'm just afraid that since they're looking for Isaac, and Isaac is not here anymore, and since Alta, that is, Itzik, is registered as Avraham Yitzchak, and since, according to that noodle-headed crown rabbi, Yitzchak is Isaac, and Isaac is Isaac, and Isaac is Isaac, they're liable to say, God forbid, that Itzik or Avraham Yitzchak, that is, Alta, is Isaac. So what, the lawyer said. On the contrary, you'll be better off. If Itzik is Isaac, then you'll save yourself the fine. He's got a white rejection slip, you say? Two white rejection slips, but Itzik has got them, not Isaac. But you just said that Itzik is Isaac. Who said that Itzik is Isaac? You just said that Itzik is Isaac, he said. Me? How could I say such a thing if Itzik is Alta and Isaac is the one who upset the boiling samovar while I was still in Vorotelevka, living in Vorotelevka? So he flew off the handle and told me to get out. Beat it, he said. You're pestering me to death, you pesky Jew. In other words, this meant that I was a pesky pest. Fancy that. Me. A pesky pest. Me.
That was Back from the Draft, written by Shalom Aleichem and read by Jerry Stiller. The story can be found in Old Country Tales by Shalom Aleichem, translated by Kurt Leviant, and published by G.P. Putnam & Sons.